I'd like to welcome you back to session number 3, which is entitled Design Your Future on Purpose. As you know, we've spoke initially with session 1 about completing and healing your past. Session number 2 was about assessing your present state of affairs. Tonight, we're going to actually talk about the different elements to designing your future on purpose and deliberately in such a way that you actually make life work optimally. So there will be times when I'll stop and ask for feedback or give you some parts to participate in, and I'd welcome your participation as we go through that. First, I want to talk a little bit about living deliberately. One of the ways that we can actually analyze who we're being on a day-to-day basis that supports our relationships and our happiness and our self-esteem or detracts from them is by keeping a journal. Now, one of the things that we're going to need to become vigilant about is to actually start to manage our negative self-talk moment by moment. This will happen when we can first recognize when our negative self-talker is talking to us, and we can then reinterpret every thought and situation in a way that champions our self-image. One of the tools that I'm going to suggest to you all that will support this personal power is having a daily journal. And a journal could be anything from a spiral-bound notebook to, you know, a nice hard-bound book that was made just for journaling purposes. And I'm going to invite you to start noting your observations in your journal daily. And one of the things that you'll include are your daily commitments, your challenges, your insights, and your breakthroughs or your aha experiences. So here are some of the questions that I'm going to suggest that you start to look at recording your insights around in your journal each day. The first is to catch yourself in negative self-talk and actually distinguish what's going on between the story that you made up about yourself and the facts of what's so. Note also, whenever you're demanding perfection of yourself or you're blaming yourself for things that aren't your fault or beyond your control, one of the things that I'm going to invite you to do is to note every time you blame yourself and in the moment take a bold action, which is to give up your right to blame yourself and to actually acknowledge yourself for something instead. I'm going to invite you to also in your journal record any assumptions that others are judging you as harshly as you judge yourself. And so what that looks like is separate out what you say or do from what you made up about those things in such a way that you give yourself the benefit of the doubt, that you no longer beat yourself up for other people's stuff, other people's interpretations, or the way in which other people actually erode your self-esteem by you buying into the things that they say or do. So I'm going to encourage you to start journaling these entries in such a way that you start to note whenever there's something going on, whenever you see that your mood that we discussed in week number 1 kicks in, you're going to separate the self-talk from what happened from what you made up about it. And you're going to ask yourself, is it possible that I'm distorting what actually happened? The other thing that I'm going to ask you to start noting is if you're taking what others say personally. And when you ask yourself, am I taking these things personally, the place to look is what other interpretations can I create that are about the other person who actually say these things and not about myself. So one of the things that you're going to look at is how you're comparing yourself unfavorably to others and how you can actually focus on your strengths instead of whatever weaknesses you're finding for yourself. When you can start to acknowledge yourself for positive traits time and time again, every time that a negative thought comes to mind, you'll start exercising the muscle where instead of harping on the negative, you'll start to replace those negative thoughts with positive affirmations. I'm going to also ask you to take a look at the following questions. The first is, what worked about today with respect to raising your self-esteem level? And what was missing that if put into place would support you in being the person that you declare yourself to be more fully today and going forward in your life? Also, what was missing that would have supported your self-esteem to increase today? And most importantly, how will you make tomorrow a better, higher self-esteem day? So I'm going to invite you to actually take on these questions, take on the process of analyzing day-to-day how you're actually either enhancing your self-esteem or how you're diminishing your self-esteem. Because as long as it's invisible to you, you'll get more of the same. Now, the next area that I'm going to speak to is actually about living deliberately by creating a vision for your life. You know, we get what we expect, and when we expect our lives to be marked by rich relationships, abundance, fun, adventure, and all of the good things that we want to attract to us, we can actually, on purpose, manifest those in our lives. Now, if self-esteem results in anticipation of pain, loneliness, suffering, struggle, broken relationships, and poverty, we'll manifest those as well. So when we unintentionally sabotage ourselves by focusing on those things which don't support us, we actually lower our self-esteem. The good news is that we can actually retrain our thoughts in such a way that we can have the intention to manifest what we want to appear on purpose. One of the ways that we can do that is by actually creating this vision for our lives. And before I talk about that, I'd like to actually give you an analogy. If you had a glass before you, an 8-ounce glass that was filled with coffee, so it's a brown liquid in your glass, and you had another pitcher full of water, crystal clear water, and you actually poured the pitcher of clear water into the glass of coffee, what you'd see is that with the first few drops, the color of the water gets a little bit lighter. The color of the coffee is diminished a little bit. But as you continue to pour clear water into the coffee glass, before long, the entire brownness of the liquid is replaced by crystal clear water. And that analogy holds true with our thoughts and what we put into our minds. And to the extent that we have low self-esteem, we've actually filled our minds with thoughts that don't support us. And one of the ways that we can actually replace those thoughts with supportive, positive thoughts and affirmations about ourselves is to constantly put into our minds day after day of positive reinforcements about how special we are, about what our gifts are, about the things that we did that benefit us that day and moving forward. And I'm going to invite you as we go forward to actually give up your right to beat yourself up and catch yourself in any self-defeating thoughts. Catch yourself in such a way that when you identify that you have a self-defeating thought, a thought that makes you small, or you have your past creep in a way where, here we go again, and you find yourself getting into that same old drama cycle of reliving a negative thought that has you play small or keeps you stuck or has you feel poorly about yourself, I'm going to invite you to replace that with a new thought that acknowledges you for something, that actually puts the interpretation of what happened in a positive way so that you don't beat yourself up, so that you don't put yourself down, and you don't continue to diminish your self-esteem. Now, last week we spoke a little bit about values and how values are an important part of our being, and that when we honor our values, we raise our self-esteem. And when we live with values that are being dishonored, we actually lower that self-esteem. So by creating a vision that's in alignment with your values, I'm going to invite you actually to raise your self-esteem on purpose by creating an ideal scenario for your life that honors your values, that honors your life rules. In other words, life works optimally for you, and that you're actually being the qualities that support your dream life. You're actually doing the things that support you to be happy and fulfilled and to be in rich relationships with others. And you're actually attracting abundance and great things into your life that make life worthwhile. So I'm going to invite you to imagine this vision as a movie script that is happening years from now, where a movie director just happened to catch 1 minute of your life on film. And that minute of your life actually represents these three areas. The areas of who you'll be, in other words, what qualities and values will you embody when your life is working optimally, and how will you look and come across to others, and what will your self-image be like. So the first area is the area of being. The second area is the area of doing. In other words, what will you do on a typical day at work or a typical day at play when your life possesses these qualities where you actually get to live life in choice? And then thirdly, what will you have in your life as a result of having it all? What qualities will you have? What actions will you be doing? Where will you live? With whom? And what will you surround yourself with? You know, will you have pets or physical possessions that give you fulfillment and reward you? What will your life look like in every aspect of all of the six areas of your life, from the area of your health, your wealth and finances, your recreation, your personal and spiritual development, your passions? All of these different areas will contribute to part of your vision. And also, I'm going to ask you to look at who will your vision of an ideal life contribute to. In other words, who are the people that you're in relationship in your vision? Picture yourself interacting with friends and family and coworkers and everyone that you meet in a way that reflects your high self-esteem and your rich friendships. And I'm going to invite you to write that vision out in first-person present tense in a way where you actually start to declare what your life is going to be like. And then once you've written that vision, I'm going to invite you to read that vision at least twice a day, in the morning when you wake up and at night before you go to bed. And in the self-esteem book, you'll find an example of a vision, and you'll be able to actually use that as a model to create your own. Now, one of the things that I'd like to also address is the whole concept of life purpose. And life purpose is really about living a life that's fulfilling and that's manifesting your gifts. It's about, if your self-esteem is low, then you're not really living your life purpose and you're not manifesting your gifts. So in a life where your life purpose is being honored, your key values are being honored, you're sharing your gifts with the world, you're alive with vitality, you love what you're doing, and this always involves others. And so I'm going to invite you to live life like it's not a dress rehearsal, like it's the life that you were really meant to live. And your life purpose need not be complicated. It's really about the qualities that you're known for. It's about who you are in your core. It can even be, you know, those things that you're known for way back as far as you can remember in your childhood. Where were you known as someone who was funny and was the life of the party? Or were you known as someone who was creative and helped inspire ideas? Or were you known as a good friend? So there's a lot of different ways that your life purpose can manifest. And I'm going to give you some examples of a life purpose. And again, it's simple, it's direct, it doesn't need to be complicated. Here are some life purposes. I am love. I show people how to laugh and have fun. I inspire everyone to be his best. I bring peace to the world. I champion men or women. I share love through pets. I champion equal rights or people that are disadvantaged. I inspire people to live with passion. I'm a teacher. I build relationships and help people belong. I help people help themselves. I relieve suffering and heal people. I advocate for the poor or the homeless. I'm a communicator. I champion children. I inspire adventure. I create beauty. I make people's lives easier. So I'm going to ask you some questions now. I'm going to see who wants to work with me with respect to identifying what your life purpose is. Now, the first question is, what are you known for? What qualities do people think of positively when they think of you? First, does anyone want to work with me to uncover your life purpose?
Sure, Joe. It's Rick here.
Hi, Rick. Great. So tell me a little bit about the qualities that you're known for first.
I think I would be, or other people would say that I'd be known as a good friend, as somebody who's very down-to-earth, easygoing, like to have a good time.
Great. Okay, so are you clear what your life purpose is?
I think so. I think I've lost some of that over the years. And like I mentioned last week, I think by bringing about some freedom and lightening up a little bit, I think I could get it back.
Okay, great. So can you briefly sum up your life purpose in a few words?
Well, my life purpose would be to be able to live a life of choice and to be able to contribute to other people's similar values.
Okay, but that's not so much a clunk for me as what you said before, which is to have fun and be a good friend.
Okay.
You know, and the whole lightening up comes along with that as well. When you're having fun, when you're light and you're not overly serious, you're attractive to people. Is that correct?
Right.
And so isn't your life purpose really to be a good friend and to support people to have fun?
Yeah, that's true.
Is that a clunk for you?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Okay, good. So tell me now, how will you manifest that life purpose into the world? How are you going to first pay attention to lightening up?
Well, I have to get myself to that point first.
Okay.
And I have to work on I have to work towards that somehow.
Okay, well, let's put a structure in place right now that'll support that, if that's okay with
okay.
you.
Sure.
Do you notice when you're not light, when you're serious or when you're sad, or what is the opposite of lightening up for you? How does that look for you?
I'm probably very negative.
Okay. Good. And so can you catch yourself when you're negative? Are you in the habit of doing that? Or is it kind of invisible to you most of the time?
It's probably invisible most of the time.
Okay.
I do catch myself once in a while.
Okay. Do you have anyone's partnership, like your wife's partnership, for example, in supporting you to recognize when you are that way so that you can shift out of it?
Yes. Yeah, my wife is very conscious of my moods.
Okay, good. So here's an invitation, and that would be to ask her if she'd be willing to let you know. Well, first of all, share with her what your life purpose is, to be a good friend and to support people to have fun and to enjoy life. And ask her if she'd be willing to let you know when she sees that you're being negative. And with the commitment on your part to actually take that feedback and shift out of it in such a way that you can actually, you know, you can start to lighten up, you can have fun, tell a joke, do whatever it takes to actually break out of that mode on purpose, what you'll see is that when you can start to recognize it more and more on a daily basis, you'll be able to shift out of it, because as long as you're unaware, then it runs you. But when you're aware, you have the ability to take a bold action in the direction of breaking it up.
Okay.
And so those are the two steps. One is to recognize when you're being in a way that doesn't support you. And the second is to take bold action that is directly in the direction of the way that you decide to be.
Right, okay.
And I'm going to invite you to do that in your journal. And I'm going to also invite you to take a look at what that does for your self-esteem and also what it does to your relationships and how it affects them.
Okay. Well, I know it would improve them greatly.
Well, it sure would, because that's who you really are. Who you really are is light and fun and, you know, a good friend. And when you forget that, you go into the struggle mode, the protection mode. The default is really about survival, and that's really not who you are.
Right.
Good. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So let's look now at how we can actually design an action plan for our lives in those six areas: health and appearance, wealth, finances, career, and occupation. The third is relationships. Fourth is family. The fifth is personal and spiritual development. And the sixth is recreation and fun. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about having some goals first in each of these areas. Unlike what society often teaches, goals are objectives that we actually strive to accomplish by a certain date. They're grounded in time, and they actually stretch us to accomplish something that we wouldn't be able to accomplish without having a goal in place. The goals are actually in alignment with our vision and with our life purpose when it comes to this sort of work. And I'm going to invite you to actually create goals as a place to come from as opposed to a place to get to. And the difference is that the goals need to empower us. They need to motivate us to take action. They need to have us be on a quest to put something in place that was missing. And so I'm going to ask if you take a look at these areas: your health and appearance, your wealth, finances, career and occupation, your relationships, your family, your personal and spiritual development, and the area of recreation and fun. Identify what a long-term goal would be of, say, 5 or 10 or 20 years in each area. So, Rick, can I ask you first with respect to health and appearance? Do you have any health goals or appearance goals that would make life worthwhile for you?
Well, I could probably stand to lose about 20 pounds.
Okay.
So I'm, that's something that I could say would be a goal.
Okay, great.
Health-wise.
And is that something you're committed to doing, or is it something that just sounds like a good idea?
It's something I'm committed. I joined a gym a while ago, and I've been going pretty faithfully the last few months. So I'm
great.
I'm on the road to that.
Good. Have you already lost some pounds?
Just a few. Not,
okay.
Not a
well, that's a great start.
I'm not real serious yet, but.
Okay. Do you have an expectation by a certain date that you'll lose the weight that you want to lose?
Well, I hadn't put a date on it yet, but I suppose that's what I should be doing.
Well, that would support you, because then what we will do is we'll look at milestones, because we won't know if you're on track unless we kind of back it up. So that if your goal is to lose 20 pounds by January 1st, for example,
yeah,
we'll look at where you should be on December 1st and November 1st.
Okay.
I'm just making that date up. You could be,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, January 1st, 2008, if you wanted. Whatever your goal is.
Okay.
Just to be in alignment with those areas. Okay, let's look in the area of wealth, finances, career, and occupation. Does anyone have a goal with respect to that area? Chuck, are you still there?
Yes.
I know that you have a goal with respect to your career and in your finances. Do you not?
Oh, that's true, yes.
Okay,
I have a couple here that I wrote down. I am now creating a successful OxyFresh career in an easy and relaxed manner in a healthy and positive way.
Okay, great. And so what does it look like specifically with respect to your income?
Specifically to my income,
Thousands of dollars a month?
Well, right now I'm thinking more in terms of having all my credit card debt paid off over time and my house paid off, let's say, within 2 years, and retiring from work in about a year or so. It's difficult for me to fathom $10,000 a month, but ideally that's probably what it would take.
Okay. So $10,000 a month. And retiring in a year, having your house paid off in 2 years, having all of your credit card debt paid off by when?
I'd say about my credit card, probably around 10 months or so.
Okay. Well, great. Well, I'm going to invite you to actually take a little bit of time, not here tonight on the call, because this is going to take probably a couple of hours for you to actually break this down in a way where you can set some grounded goals with respect to by when each of those things will happen and what you'll need to do in order to reach there. And I'd be happy to work with you personally to ground those on another one-on-one call if you'd like.
Well, thank you. I'm so heavily involved with my self-improvement and personal development. You helped me an awful lot on the first call by focusing attention away from a bad situation that could only get worse at work and elevating myself above it and not giving my power away. And I really appreciate you for that paradigm shift I have had. However, I recognize it and I acknowledge you for that. But it's a process. And so I just, you know, even though I might seem vague in my answers, believe me, I'm like a liner in the night. I have direction and my motors are going, but, you know, as to exactly when I'm going to get there, I just don't know. I just know I'm just going to take it one step at a time. I say, how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time. And that's pretty much, you know, the way I'm operating right now.
Okay, great. Well, this is all going to be taped as well, and I'm going to invite you all to listen to it again, to actually break down some goals, take the book as a guide, and look in each of these other areas as well, your relationships. You know, what is a goal for rich, rewarding relationships, either with your significant other, your spouse, your friends, perhaps some people in your family? What is a goal for personal or spiritual development? Is that important to you? And what will you do with respect to moving those areas forward? And, you know, one of the areas that Rick mentioned was having fun and really recreating and enjoying life. And, you know, too often, many of us, myself included, tend to be too serious, to be too into work and moving things forward in the business arena. And we kind of forget sometimes to have fun and to really take time for doing those things that really give us joy and bring zest for life. And so it will support all of us to look in all of these six areas, as well as the areas of being. So when you have goals around being, you'll ask yourself, what qualities do you want to be known for? And how will you actually exude those qualities? In other words, what energy will you display that is in alignment with those qualities? so that, for example, if one of the qualities you wanted to be known for was a good friend, then perhaps you would give off the energy of smiling a lot and asking people about themselves and taking a genuine concern in other people. And look at what values having each of these goals in the area of these qualities would honor for you. You know, perhaps it would give you not only self-esteem, but it would give you fulfillment, it would give you joy, it would give you love. Those are all values that would be honored. The other area with respect to setting some goals are doing goals. And there's both short-term and long-term goals in the arena of doing. These are different things that you can actually put into place where you take action that's boldly in alignment with your goals and in alignment with your life purpose and your vision and your values. And then, of course, other goals are goals of having, things that you'll manifest in your life.